Whether you drive a car,
need a car,
or just occasionally bum a ride with friends,
you've come to the right place.
Join Joe and Tom as they break down everything that's going on in the auto world.
New car reviews,
shopping tips,
driving green,
electric cars,
classic cars,
and plenty of great guests.
This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, this is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I am Tom Appel. Thank you for joining us today. When you have a moment, check us out at consumerguide.com. That's all I'll say. All right, with me in studio is Jill Simonello, contributing editor here at Consumer Guide.
I could manage you.
You could. It's difficult.
It is.
My wife has given up. A prolific freelancer and North American Car of the Year juror.
Yes.
How are you?
I am doing well.
The hellish is the wrong word because that seems to suggest heat, but right. The hellish cold snap is over.
Yeah, no. I went for a walk today before coming here, and I had to vent my jacket because it was so warm.
It is only cold now in Chicago.
Yeah, it's 20 degrees, and I had to vent my jacket, or 25.
The nightmare is over.
Yeah.
I had, we'll talk about this later if we have time, but I drove the Corolla SE hybrid all-wheel drive during the cold snap. It held up well. The all-wheel drive system is excellent. Didn't want to warm up, and it doesn't have heated seats.
Meh.
So you want to make sure you're getting a Corolla that's available with heated seats.
Yes.
For this.
Yes.
Other than that, fine car. And it's not the car's fault that it didn't have heated seats. So,
well, I'm blaming you for wearing shorts.
Maybe.
Literally wearing shorts. I'm just going to point that out. You can't see it.
I have complained from time to time that I think some versions of the Corolla are expensive and that the Corolla Cross, the small crossover, is a little expensive. On the Corolla SE, getting all-wheel drive, $1,400. Just do it.
Yeah, I'm like, that doesn't seem bad.
No, it's a great deal. It's usually more like $2,000, $2,200. Depends on the brand, depends on the maker, depends on the car. But $1,400, just do it. You're going to get the money back when you sell the car.
Yeah, especially if you live anywhere that gets snow.
Yeah, and I found some accumulated snow in an unparked parking lot. This car is very good in the snow. That is a good all-wheel drive system. But we can talk more about that later. I need to cover something interesting you know about this. We haven't shared this yet with our listeners, at least not on the show itself.
Right.
We are now part of the Believe, B-L-E-A-V, podcast network.
Believe.
And we have moved from Buzzsprout to Simplecast to make that happen.
Okay.
It looks like everything went fine.
Okay.
Although it messed up my website a little.
Okay.
If you go to the website and you go to listen on our homepage, it's a little messy. I got to get that fixed. But that, it works.
Okay.
It works. So we just want to let people know that this changed. This happened. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't affect anything for listeners, but if it does, let us know.
Yes. And how can they let you know?
Carstuff@consumerguide.com. Drop us a note. We will get that fixed as soon as possible.
Yes.
But it looks like it was as seamless as they promised me.
Yes.
And we're already enjoying new listeners. So thank you. Welcome, new listeners.
Yes. Hello.
All right. We have a crap load of news to get through this week.
Yeah.
And you have a review to get to.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to read some news.
Okay.
I want you to indicate how interested you are in the story, and then we'll circle back.
Okay.
All right. First, Ford's Model T moment, this new electric truck they're going to build, has a name.
Okay.
Maverick EV.
Okay.
So we know what
that's... So creative!
Yeah.
So creative.
I don't know if we need to circle back on that or not. That vehicle is due to go into production not that far in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. That is new Ford's new... efficiently built small electric vehicle.
Okay.
All right, that's the first news story. The Lexus LC.
Yes.
Dead.
Yeah.
This is the beautiful Lexus top-of-the-line flagship sports car.
Yeah.
And sports car convertible. I always thought that if you were a thinking man and you've always wanted a Ferrari, get this instead.
Mm-hmm.
No, this will not run with a Ferrari on a track, but it certainly looks good on the street, and it is not shy of sporty behavior. It's a wonderful car.
Yep.
And these are going to be very collectible used, I suspect.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
As production ends.
Mm-hmm.
There's that story. One's interesting. I'm sorry.
As you say, there's a lot of RIP news today. So.
Yeah, there is. We're going to get to some bigger news about that. This is a little story. I don't know if we're going to circle back on this one or not in the future, but I just want to get it out there. We've been talking a lot about software-defined vehicles, SDVs.
Mm-hmm.
BMW has probably what's closest to an SDV coming out this year, and that is the iX3,
yep,
which runs on their new Neue Klasse architecture. It's an 800-volt architecture, mm-hmm, should charge very quickly. Range should be good. Anyway, this is going to be the first of many vehicles built on this.
Mm-hmm.
Software-defined, should be a very good electric vehicle if this works.
If it works.
We're not seeing...
Hashtag.
Software defined scares me a little.
Well, yeah.
But one of the great things about software defined.
Over the air updates.
Is over the air updates. Your vehicle will not necessarily become obsolete so quickly,
right,
if they can update stuff. Yes, that's exactly right. I wanted to get this out there because maybe if we talk about sales, we don't always mention this. The Kia Telluride, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Is constrained by manufacturing limitations.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they sold 123,000 last year, which is a big number,
mm-hmm,
it could have been bigger.
But they've sold as many as they made is the end of that story.
That is exactly what, yep, I'm saying. And they could have sold more. This is true of the Hyundai Palisade as well.
Yep.
And they import these buggers still.
Yep.
They need to start building them here probably.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to have to anyway.
Yeah.
Because the tariffs are going to crush them. But anyway, here's the big news.
Wah, wah, wah. I feel like you should be playing Taps or something.
Maybe.
Because I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, mixed emotions.
Yeah.
The Tesla Model X and the Tesla Model S.
Yes.
Dead.
Yes.
And there's a lot here to unpack about this. We can circle back on this if you want to.
Okay.
But the Model S was probably the single most important electric vehicle in history.
I would agree with that.
It was proof of concept.
Mm-hmm.
People bought them. People liked them. And Tesla built a charging network around this single vehicle.
Yeah.
The only thing wrong with this vehicle now is when Tesla hasn't updated it since it came out in 2012. And it's a little expensive, but no one wants a luxury sedan, a big luxury sedan.
Right.
Don't know why manufacturers keep trying to build them. The X was the wacky big crossover with the Falcon doors.
Yeah, the gullwing doors.
Which is kind of a stupid thing from the beginning. And it was one of those things that proved that Elon was a nutbag. Because he kept...
Tell me how you really feel.
No, really. He kept delaying production of a crossover, which they badly needed.
Yeah, just so that they could do these doors.
Just so they could do these stupid doors. Yep. And then... people didn't really like the doors. Also, someone lost their fingers in the doors.
Probably not your best idea.
No.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. You say that that they haven't been updated, and I'm gonna counter that a little bit because they got a redesign. I want to say it was like 2015, 16, where they went away from the black nose and they had the body colored grille, and then it was completely re-engineered underneath the skin in 2021. So I would say that there are three generations of this vehicle, even though you can't really tell.
Even though every body panel is exactly the same.
Pretty much.
Also, this is a thing with Elon Musk. He says that they don't really redesign vehicles, that there's ongoing improvements. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Well, they definitely don't follow a traditional model year cycle.
No.
And so, if you were looking for full self-driving technology, you can't go to the beginning of a model year and say, oh, this vehicle has it. You have to actually really look at the vehicle and say, okay, middle of 2000, I think it was 2016, they started adding some of that. But yeah, you gotta be very careful.
Yeah, it's a little weird, but it is interesting and noteworthy that this vehicle has finally reached the end of its run. Also, Fremont, California, where they used to build these things,
yep,
which, by the way, was a Toyota GM plant way back when,
right,
is now going to be building humanoid Optimus robots. Or
Yay.
Not. I just want to add the or not.
Or not. Because we don't know. They haven't started yet.
We also don't actually know what the demand is for humanoid Optimus robots.
Yeah, I don't know. If it could make my bed in the morning, maybe.
So Tesla now sells two vehicles, excluding the Cybertruck, that are kind of getting old, and there's really nothing coming. The $25,000 vehicle is not coming. There's supposed to be a Roadster coming. That's not going to sell a lot.
I don't see that actually coming. I think they're making a transition to be more of a mobility company.
A tech company
rather than a car company.
Interestingly, Hyundai, not ignoring its cars, but they're into the robotics as well.
Yeah.
And we don't talk about that much on this show, but it's something we might want to talk about at some point because they're really big play for those guys. All right. According to Inside EV, Scout taking orders for their vehicles, the pickup truck and the Traveler. Was it I forgot what they're called. Do you remember the models?
Yep. It's the Terra and the Traveler.
There you go. Terra and Traveler. Almost everyone who has put money down wants the range extender.
I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah. So no pure electrics being demanded there. So Scout being flexible about this probably saving the whole venture.
Yep.
All right. Interesting story here. I heard this on Automotive News. The Miniman. The Minivan.
Oh, I thought you said Miniman.
I did. I did, yeah.
Are you talking about the Optimus robot again, or what are we going with this? Okay.
The Minivan is making a comeback.
Yeah.
This has been a pretty small segment for a long time.
Right.
Which is part of the reason we haven't seen that much investment in the vehicles. Mm-hmm. Chrysler's been dragging its feet on a full redesign. Honda's been dragging its feet on a full redesign. Although Kia been doing some nice stuff, including adding a hybrid. But it seems that minivans now look price competitive to three-row crossovers. Mm. And news out for the weekend, the average payment is now up to $775.
Golly.
For 70 months. So, crazy talk.
70 months.
Yep. The average loan now over 6 years. When I bought my Ford Ranger in 1991, my father was mad at me and disappointed that I went with a four-year loan. He thought that was crazy talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool thing from Mercedes-Benz. They're redesigning their big S-Class sedan.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The legendary S-Class sedan. It has heated seat belts.
I mean, I've been in cars with heated armrests, and you think how stupid is that until you have them, and you're like, oh my gosh, I need this in my life. So
I find that about most features. Like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, and then I try it, and I'm like, oh, I kind of dig this.
I need this in my life.
But my favorite is the heated steering wheel. Like, nothing has come along that I want more than that. I don't generally get cold, but my hands get cold.
Yeah.
All right. Another piece of news, Belvidere, Illinois, where they were going to build. They're going to build the Cherokee and the Compass.
Uh-huh.
They've pushed back the start of manufacturing 7 months.
Okay.
Don't know why. Don't know what that means. Not being well covered. All right. We have a couple of minutes here. What do you want to dig into more? We've covered much news.
Well, I have one more news item for you that you didn't get to.
Oh, all right. I'm listening.
Hyundai Santa Cruz.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Also dead. And, you know, if you guys have followed the podcast for a long time, you know that was the vehicle I ran in the Rebel Rally the first 2 years I competed. So I have, you know, a general love and affinity for this vehicle, and I'm incredibly sad to see it go.
It's interesting, too, because I like the vehicle. There's not much about the vehicle I don't like, except I thought it was pricey.
Yeah.
But there are two different approaches here to something that has turned out to be very successful for Ford.
Mm-hmm.
So the Ford Maverick.
Yep.
They build a lot of those and sell a lot of those, and were able to raise the price 50% and still have
still sell a lot.
Still selling a lot despite that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it is about the Santa Cruz, except that maybe it looks too much like a crossover.
It's a little bit quirky in the design. Maybe not as functional as the Maverick, even though the bed size is similar.
It looks less functional.
And I mean, one of the things that we really tried to prove during the Rebel Rally, and if you're not familiar, it's R-E-B-E-L-L-E. You should Google it. It's really cool. It's a women's off-road navigational challenge.
Now I have to link to that.
Yes, you do.
You said it, and
thank
now
you.
I have to link to it.
But the you're not driving on roads. You're literally off-road pretty much for 8 days. And this vehicle was a champ. And we did give it a lift. You know, we did put skid plates on it. You know, there were a couple of modifications we did. But, like, overall, like, this is an incredibly capable, cool, fun vehicle, and we loved, you know, the heated seats and the comfort while we were in the desert.
Yeah, just not selling for them.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to do something soon, pickup truck-wise, that's a lot more conventional.
Yeah, they're talking midsize body on frame.
Interesting thing like that, and I'm sure he's just covering his ass at this point, but Elon Musk is talking about the Cybertruck, and like, well, the first one didn't work, we're going to try a different design.
20 years from now.
Yeah. but interesting. Yes, so that's going away too, Santa Cruz.
Yep.
So that's a lot of death notices this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy stuff. But the minivan thing, I was actually spoke to Nick DiGilio about that. I was on his podcast this week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to see that make a comeback. And he was just thinking he doesn't see many minivans anymore. But if you see a Kia Carnival, maybe you don't know you're looking at a minivan.
It is a very handsome, attractive, SUV-like minivan.
So we'll see if this is a blip. It'd be nice to see that segment get a little kick in the butt.
Yeah.
And you've got the Sienna, which is available in hybrid form, and all of them are hybrid. So that's
all
cool.
All of the Siennas are, yep.
Yep, the Honda still has a traditional V6, which is nice.
Yep.
A little dated, but probably the most fun to drive.
Second oldest minivan in the segment.
What's the oldest?
Pacifica.
That feels like that's not interesting.
I'm pretty sure it's a Pacifica. It's either I'm pretty sure Pacifica is the oldest, and then you have the Odyssey. Or it's flipped, but it's only by a year.
But Pacifica.
Specifica?
Do you know people who can't say specific?
Yes.
Yeah.
I am not one of those people.
Specifica, no longer a hybrid. But really smooth V6, and yep. You can get one that is truly a luxury vehicle.
Yep.
So that's nice. Kia Carnival, cheapest vehicle in the class.
Yep.
By far.
But lots of cool things.
Still a van under
and
40
newest.
Grand.
Yeah, it's the newest thing with all the coolest technology you can imagine.
And that's it. That's everything there.
Yep.
And that segment hasn't been over 500,000 units total in a very, very long time.
No, but
who knows?
But millennials and boomers apparently are responsible for the comeback.
Well, that's cool. And if you're thinking about one, drive them all.
Yep.
They all have very specific things that are cool. Also, Stow & Go, which is a wonderful, wonderful feature. People often don't use it.
Yeah.
They end up filling those bins with crap, and then they can never fold the seats down.
And then they forget the crap. but no, I mean, I think Stow & Go is really cool. I actually managed to fit in Stow & Go once.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
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 Border crossing?
No. Well, you know, it was really funny. I was like, I think I could fit in this. And I was like wedging myself into it. Then I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to put my shoulders down in it because the call to the Chrysler PR person would not have been pleasant. Hey, I had to get Jaws of Life out of this vehicle because I got stuck in Stow & Go.
Here's the thing, too. If you call a paramedic, you have to pay for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you don't want to intentionally do that.
No.
People don't know that. They think it's just free. Oh, the government loves me. Free paramedic. No, not the case. You just drove. Mm-hmm. You drove here.
Yes.
In a Mitsubishi.
Yes.
We have not talked about Mitsubishi.
We have not.
I don't think we've ever talked about a Mitsubishi test car on the show.
At least it's been a hot minute.
Yeah. So you are driving the Outlander SEL.
Correct.
Do tell.
Yeah. So
nice color.
Yeah. So I'm really enjoying this vehicle. The engine is, I'm going to be honest, it's like 1.5 liter four cylinder engine. It's a little bit on the wimpy side, but
we should talk about the fact that this vehicle is very, very closely mechanically related to the Nissan Rogue.
Correct.
And that is the engine out of the Nissan Rogue and transmission.
Right. But it is very comfortable, though. The seats are really bougie. I know you love that word. And very high-end looking. So I actually just posted to my Instagram and I posted to TikTok and YouTube what am I driving this week video. And I didn't show anything from Mitsubishi. And people are like, oh, it's a Mercedes. It's a, you know, BMW. And I'm like, nope, this is Mitsubishi. It looks, especially on the inside, SEL is the higher trim. It looks a lot nicer, I think, than what you would expect. So it is a nice vehicle, and I'm enjoying the comfort. I'm enjoying the handling. I think it handles really well once you get to speed. It's comfortable on the highway. You know, they have a version of Nissan's ProPilot Assist, which is like the adaptive cruise control and steer control system, and that works really well. It's comfortable. It's quiet. And I know the exterior design is a little bit polarizing, but I like it.
I would call it clunky.
There's
too much going on there. There is an engineering word. I used to work at the gas station with a guy from the University of Illinois who was an engineer, and they used to call that kludge.
Kludge?
And kludge was a collection of too much stuff on one thing.
Okay.
So that the design no longer made sense. And that vehicle looks a little kludgy to me. And if you're not buying a vehicle because of design only, you're making a mistake. But what's interesting, too, you mentioned that it handles well. Though this is based on the Nissan Rogue, mm-hmm. it is significantly different. Mm-hmm. The chassis tuning is different. Interior trim is different. Exterior trim is different. So mm-hmm. if you're looking at one, you can look at the other. And you might be able to get a better deal on the Mitsubishi.
Right.
But then also worry about resale value. So there's a lot to think about.
Yeah. And I mean, when I've driven the Rogue and the Mitsubishi back to back, like, I actually like the Mitsubishi better because it just looks nicer to me. And I will also say the other thing that the Mitsubishi has going for it that the Rogue does not at this moment have going for it is the Outlander comes with a plug-in hybrid option.
Yeah, a pretty big commitment for somebody.
It is. It is. If, and as we've talked about previously, don't buy one if you're not going to plug it
in. Yeah, don't do that. Mitsubishi commits a cardinal sin here by having a trim level that is ES.
Oh, God.
And one that is SE.
Yeah.
What
Why
the
would
hell?
You do that?
But anyway, starting around 32 grand, there's the ES, the LE, the SE, the SEL, which you drove.
Yeah.
A sporty but not very sporty Rally Art edition.
Mm.
And this heralds back to Rally Art stuff that was pretty seriously sporty that they used to sell.
Mm-hmm.
A trail edition, which is not especially trail ready.
Right.
And there's something called, it's significantly more money than the SEL, but it's based on the SEL, the Black Edition.
Mm-hmm.
45 grand, but that's a very high trim level with a lot of blackout trim and stuff. But yeah, it's good to see one of these things. Good to hear a review of one. They don't sell a lot of these. And Mitsubishi is down to three models.
Yeah.
Right? The Outlander Sport, and the, what is it called?
Oh, God. I had it in my head. Yes. I'm like, I just completely blanked on it.
And the Eclipse Cross and the Outlander Sport are similar in size and price, and I don't know why they offer both of them. But this is the volume car for Mitsubishi in the U.S. They desperately need new product, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't look at this bad boy.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great SUV. The as-tested price for the vehicle I was in, it did have some pricey options. It had like the premium package with the like $3,000 that had like the dynamic Yamaha sound system. And the rear camera mirror and that kind of stuff. But it had some big options, and so the S-tested price for this vehicle is $47,000. It's $47,035, yeah.
That's pretty well loaded.
Yeah, it's very
big,
well loaded.
That's a big run-up from...
It has all the things.
...from 41, so $6,000 in options.
Yeah, and it has, not standard, but it has all-wheel drive as well. So.
Yeah. Is that standard?
It is
in
not standard.
Okay.
It's standard on the PHEVA. I don't think it's standard on.
Oh, it is standard. I mentioned those premium trim levels, the Rally Art, the Trail Edition, and the Black Edition. All of those have standard all-wheel drive.
Okay.
And that's largely just to limit the number of things that are on a dealer lot.
Right.
All right. So this vehicle, thumbs up, thumbs down. Should people consider it?
Thumbs up. Definitely consider it if you're looking for a two-row vehicle. I believe, and I haven't crawled back there yet, there is a very small third row. So if you need the very occasional third row for somebody who's smaller than me, and that's like smaller than 5 feet tall, yeah, it's a great option.
Fun story. I know we're out of time. You can buy a plug-in hybrid, or can soon buy a plug-in hybrid of the Rogue, which is just this vehicle. It's just, it's just a plug-in hybrid.
Nissan badging.
Outlander. Funny thing, it comes with three-row seating.
Yep.
Which the other Rogues do not.
Do not.
All
yeah.
right. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Kelley Blue Book's Best Buys.
Yes.
All right. Yes. Stick around.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com.
The Chicago Auto Show zooms into McCormick Place this February 7th through the 16th. The cars are certainly the star, but did you know the Chicago Auto Show has indoor test tracks and outdoor test drives? Take a thrilling ride on one of two indoor mountain climbs with either Ford or Jeep and decide who conquers the challenge best. Come experience the latest gas-powered, hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electric vehicles all in one place. Take a trip into the national parks and adopt a dog with Subaru. Dream about a lavish lifestyle at the Supercar Gallery. Visit returning exhibits, Overlanding Chicago, and the Family Zone, where kids can test drive their own vehicles. Don't miss the new Chi-Town Alley that celebrates Chicago car culture and unites car enthusiasts. Join us for an indoor run, craft beer tasting, auto career day, and so much more. The Chicago Auto Show has something for everyone. February 7th through the 16th at McCormick Place. Find out more and buy tickets today at ChicagoAutoShow.com.
Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
And we're back. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I'm Tom Appel. She is Jill Simonillo. How are you?
I am doing well.
I forgot to mention something.
What did you forget to mention?
It matters not at all.
Okay.
But I want to mention it. Sunday night. Dinner for my mom's birthday.
And she's like 109 now?
Yeah, 108.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's not really, by the way.
We went to the Wild Onion Brew Pub in Barrington.
Okay.
It's a place we've been going for a long time. Beer and cheese soup, vegetarian beer and cheese soup.
Okay.
Changed my life.
Got it. Got it.
You can get it. You can get it on the side, or you can get a big pretzel to dip in it.
Ooh, that would be lovely.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Okay.
All right. On the phone with us is Brian Mooney. He's the executive editor of Kelley Blue Book, and they have put together their 2026 list of best buys.
Yes.
So we're going to be talking about those and the market in general. Brian, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you? Thanks for talking about this fun topic of our cars of the year.
Well, thank you for making time for us. Kelley Blue Book is a big deal. We appreciate what you guys do, and you guys have been around for a very long time, and you're very well respected. So thank you for making our show seem classy.
Well, I mean, it is 100 years, so.
Oh, wow.
That's a really long time.
Is that this year?
Yes, 100 years. Remember when it used to be a book?
I do.
Well, it's not a book anymore. Now it's like an online thing. One thing that I think people misunderstand that when people think of Kelley Blue Book, even when you were getting the little book versus now, that's not the wholesale price. That's just a price that they're going to charge you that the dealer can still make money and is a fair price for you. I think a lot of people think the Blue Book price, oh, that's the wholesale price. It's not.
Yeah, it's funny because there used to be a yellow book and a black book. And when I sold cars, we used yellow book to establish trade-in values. Mm. But these were print, and Consumer Guide was print until 2008. Mm. And when I started with Consumer Guide, we were selling 35,000 to 40,000 examples of the magazine a month. That was in 2001. By the time we unloaded it, because it was totally unprofitable to do print anymore, we were doing something like 17,000 or 18,000 every other month. So that's what happened to print. So what kind of a book was Kelley Blue Book back 100 years ago?
It was prices and information about cars that maybe would be difficult to come by at the time. It started out as a dealership in 1926. So that was the first, you know, origin of it. Later came the book, which was pricing guides. I'm not 100 years old, but I can remember being at an auction and you would get pricing updates via pager. So I'm at least that old.
I was not aware of pager pricing updates. That's fascinating.
I refer to it as the Nissan Stanza era, when they were creating crossovers and couldn't quite figure out whether it was an Expo LRV or whether it was a Tercel ATM or whatever. There was that same thing for electronic devices when it kind of was maybe a pager, but maybe on the road toward becoming a PDA, which was on the road to becoming a smartphone. And there was a little, maybe some like little cursors you could move around to see what was the latest update on the auction that you were at.
Crazy.
So, I know.
That's crazy stuff. So what do you guys at, we'll talk about your best buys in a moment, but what do you guys at Kelley think the auto industry, let's talk about the market, is going to look like this year?
Sure. Prices are going to remain relatively elevated, meaning that the average transaction price is still going to be about $50,000. But remember, that's an average. And so people shouldn't get all spun up on averages, because averages are pulled up by a couple of things. First, electric cars are very expensive. Mm-hmm. That pulls up the average. More new car buyers today are opting for luxury cars, close to 20%. That's kind of unheard of if you look back in the pre-COVID era. That's pulling the average up. I think most people don't realize that there are plenty of good, inexpensive cars for sale right now. The Toyota Corolla, the Honda Civic, the Nissan Leaf, the Nissan Sentra, on and on. There's many cars that are around or under $30,000. The Kia K4 starts well under $25,000, and a nice one is still like $26,000, $27,000. So there's plenty of cars in that group, even though the average is around $50,000.
Yeah, Jill reviewed the K4 last week, the K4 hatchback. And fully loaded trim, and found that
it was like $32,000, but still, like, really well done.
And $32,000 is not too much in today's world.
Right.
That's still almost $20,000 under the average. So I think when people hear averages, they think, oh my gosh, everything's $100,000. It's not.
Brian, what do you think of moves like Toyota's decision to kill the base trim level of the Highlander? The Highlander now costs more money than the Grand Highlander because there's no longer, what is it, a base XL trim level? LE. They killed the LE trim level. And that seems like almost forcing people up market.
Yes, but they also have there's this thing that I didn't do too well in. It's called math. And when they look at the numbers of people that are taking for an LE, plus there's one other thing that I think needs to be like kind of pointed out.
Okay.
Toyota moving to almost all hybrid. Mm-hmm. That's great. I think 2026 is going to be the year of the hybrid. Many people are going to end up with one, whether they chose it or not. Like the Camry is a great example.
I think that's
I just
a
want
great
a good
point.
Sedan. Right. I just want a good sedan. Oh, yours is a hybrid? I don't know. I just got the car that worked best for my budget. When doing that, it's already pretty obvious that a hybrid version of a certain car is roughly $3,000 or $4,000, maybe more, extra versus the gas only version. Mm-hmm. And when you eliminate a lower trim level like that, you do force people up market. It's a way, I believe, of hiding things like tariffs. So you're raising the price functionally, but it doesn't look that way on paper. So the same thing with raising the destination fee, mm-hmm. or this kind of thing. Say your whole model line, all of your cars in the US incur an average of $2,500 price increase because of tariffs or whatever reason, cost of living, who knows. Well, what they can do is they can offer no price increase on the inexpensive car, but then on a $90,000 pickup, say that's going to have a $3,000 increase. So there's all of these ways, things that they can do, automakers, and this isn't about Toyota, this is all automakers.
Sure.
Levers they can pull to make it seem like the car is about the same price it was before, even though it might have fewer features, even though you might not have the option of an LE. I think the option of an LE car, and this is all cars, not just Toyota, the option of a base model is really a psychological play. Well, this car starts at $25,000.
Mm, yep.
Is that the one you're going to get? No possible way. But it does start at $25,000.
And it looks like a deal. It's funny. It's funny too, yeah, because you do have this sheen of economy that sort of overlays the entire trim level lineup, even though
right.
no one's really comparing XLE to Turbo Hybrid 3XZ. But Brian, let's talk about your Best Buys.
Sure. There's an interesting trend. It goes something like this: 4 Toyotas, 3 Fords, 3 Hyundais.
Hmm.
I think that's telling. You know, so cars like the Toyota Camry, the Toyota Sienna, the Toyota Tacoma, the Toyota RAV4. I mean, that tells you something. Toyota's doing something right. But then also to have 3 Fords and 3 Hyundais is also telling in that, like, when it comes to these certain kinds of cars, Hyundai Palisade, Hyundai Kona, those kind of things, they're doing a good job. And consumers are noticing, and they tend to hold their value. Part of the deal with the Best Buy Awards is that the value, meaning how much it depreciates over 5 years, is part of the formula, not just drive it around and comment. So there's math involved in that too. And as I indicated earlier, it turns out they don't need me for the math. So I didn't participate in that.
Interesting. And Consumer Guide named the Leaf a Best Buy this year as well. But it's good to see the Leaf on this list because the Leaf hits an interesting price point, especially in this incentive-free environment we're rolling into.
Yeah, I think it's a great little car. Whether or not it's actually an SUV, I don't know. But it doesn't. Here's the thing. This is what I've noticed. Unfortunately, my Instagram and Facebook feed is full of automotive stuff, whether I want it to be or not. Right? Mm-hmm. Don't take it from me. Don't watch a video of a monkey stealing a tourist's sunglasses. If you watch the whole thing, guess what you're going to see for the next 5 months?
Yeah.
Monkey videos. So when you look at some of these cars, I feel like there's a lot of people online, YouTubers or however you want to say it, that are responding to things that people don't care about. And one of the things is, like I just said, is it an SUV? I don't know, but it's an electric car for about $35,000 less if you want more. And I see this. You guys were talking about the Nissan Rogue plug-in hybrid before. Mm-hmm. Every video I see says something like, you know, this isn't really a Nissan. The average person is going, I don't really care.
Yeah.
Well, I don't
it's
know
a
what
Nissan
you're even
talking
about.
And it has
about.
A plug.
It's, I went to the Nissan dealer. It's got a Nissan warranty. I get it serviced at the Nissan dealer. And it looks like a small SUV. And it's a plug-in hybrid. I'm in. They're not at home debating at the dinner table. In the global politics and the geo manufacturing facility, people just want what's a good car. And I think the couple of on these lists are just good examples of that. Nissan Leaf, Honda Civic, Toyota Sienna. Here's my personal favorite on the list, the Ford Maverick.
Yeah.
People
that's
love the Maverick.
That's just a great truck.
Jill and I have talked about the Maverick a lot. And one of the things about the Maverick that sort of frustrates me is that vehicle was supposed to be a 20 grand vehicle. And they launched that thing, and then COVID hit, and they were able to raise the price of that vehicle fully 50%.
Yeah.
And they still sell like crazy.
Yeah.
So. They do. That's true. You know what the Ford Maverick is? Have you ever heard the expression, the answer to a question nobody was asking? You ever heard that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, the Ford Maverick is the opposite of that. It's the answer to a question everyone was asking. How can I get a good truck for less money that's not so big?
Yeah.
And they had to line people up to sell the Ford Maverick.
And the money still works. These are still much more affordable than a Ford Ranger.
Yeah.
And much more fuel efficient.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And a Tacoma.
Yeah.
Oh, Tacoma's got so expensive. Nice trucks, though.
I mean, yeah. They're nice trucks. I think here's the one thing. I there was apparently some kind of dinner or some kind of presentation for the Slate pickup. Remember that thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, every headline said it's under 20 grand.
Right.
Well, that's not true. The creme brulee must have been amazing because it's not. It's a $30,000 truck. Yeah. I mean, that's all I can think of is like everyone doubled up on shrimp cocktail on that one. Imagine if that truck had a Honda 1.6 liter gas engine. What would the price be then?
That's a very good question.
24? 22?
I mean, they're not going to do that simply because adding a gas engine to something really complicates the rollout of an all-new vehicle.
Of course. They're just going to have crank windows, so, you know, they wouldn't do that.
It is a good question to ask, even hypothetically. Yeah. Like, would that be a really cool... And it would be.
Could be. Just like the Maverick, what they did was made a gas engine and a hybrid, knowing that if they made it fully electric, they wouldn't be able to even come close to the price targets they set. So they looked at the market, they looked at their customers and said, we need to be at this price for this size and equipped truck. And that's exactly where they got. And that's how they got there, by doing it as a hybrid rather than an all electric.
Yep. So a couple of questions for you. We are running short on time, but I want to talk about your EV choices here. Your EV choice was the IONIQ 5, and then your three-row crossover pick was the EV9. I'm sorry. I said IONIQ 5. And then the three-row choice is the EV9. The EV9 gets pretty expensive. I was wondering if you could talk about that decision.
I think because there's only a handful of three-row EVs, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we could maybe include the Model X as a three-row EV, but ultimately, is that a useful third row? And also, the car is going away.
Right.
My personal choice for the money would be the IONIQ 9. It just makes a little bit more sense because it costs a lot, but the interior and the driving experience delivers. I think that it's one of the hard sells on EVs. And again, there's not many three-row EVs. Mm-hmm. That when you have a Kia EV9 and the price is $75,000, that's hard. Mm-hmm. That's just hard to get around. But at the same time, does it function well? Yes. And it has nice features and it's comfortable inside. And especially compared to the Model X, it's quite roomy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think when you're looking at three-row SUVs, like you have the IONIQ 9, you have the Rivian R1S that are similarly sized. I was like trying to, BMW has the iX, but that's only two rows. And there's not much. Maybe the EQS?
The EQS, I think what's going to happen eventually with these categories is pretty soon it's just going to be best three-row SUV.
Mm-hmm. And electric
younger,
or not.
Yeah. Right, younger buyers are not there. You're going to say, oh, but this one's a hybrid. And they're going to say, I don't know. I just want what I want.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the younger, there is a growing enthusiasm among young people. But generally speaking, the average consumer among millennials and Gen Z, they are not digging into the spec sheet and seeing which one has more horsepower at what RPM and how much torque it makes.
I sort of miss those days. No one talks about peak. No one talks about peak torque anymore.
Yeah. No, I mean, what people want to know is, like, if I'm at a stoplight and some guy next to me is revving his engine and is going to pass me on the right, am I going to be able to beat him? That's what they care about.
I'll tell you one last little thing that I think is hopeful for all of us. My teenage daughter, who was about to start driving, began texting me saying, Dad, do you know you can get a used Corvette for $12,000?
Interesting.
There's hope. There's hope.
Is she interested in driving a manual transmission? That's the hope that I want.
She is, and I also told her, I'm not buying you a 400 horsepower sports car as your first car. I would just be being a bad dad if I did that. So where we settled was, she said, I want a car when I take it to school, the other kids don't know what it is. And I was like, I have something for you. We found a really great, low miles, excellent condition, all the safety features, 2008 Saab 9.3.
Yes.
Car.
Yes.
Excellent car.
Oh,
I love that car.
It was a luxury car, so it has side curtain airbags, mm-hmm. and anti-lock brakes and traction control and stability control, all the things that you would want for a kid, but it's also affordable. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you can install a backup camera in Apple CarPlay for about $800, so don't worry about getting a car with that off the lot.
First car my wife and I bought after we got married was a Saab 9000. We still get teary-eyed when we remember that car. But, yeah. All right. We are completely out of time here, Brian. Tell us how people can find out more about this list and your reviews of these vehicles.
Yeah, you can go to KBB.com for more information on the 2026 Best Buy, and they're broken down by category. It's not car of the year. It's, say, car of the year by category, midsize car, compact, that kind of stuff.
Cool. We will link to this. Brian, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Pleasure talking to you. That was Brian Moody with KBB. We're going to take a break, and when we come back...
Quiz time.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com.
The Chicago Auto Show zooms into McCormick Place February 7th through 16th. The cars are certainly the star, but did you know the Chicago Auto Show offers special events? Such as the miles per hour run and a local craft beer sampling event. Experience indoor test tracks, outdoor ride and drives on city streets, and the brand new Chi-Town Alley Auto Enthusiast Area. The 2026 event features something for everyone. The Chicago Auto Show, February 7th through the 16th at McCormick Place. Buy your tickets today at chicagoautoshow.com.
Hi, it's Brendan from Sons of Speed. You've heard me and my colleague Paul on the Car Stuff podcast whenever Jill's out of town. But now you can hear us every week on the We Are Motor Driven podcast, along with Jennifer from Auto Exotica and Harvey from Rides and Drives. We talk about everything from sports cars to trucks to EVs and our favorite, speed. So join us each week by searching We Are Motor Driven wherever you get your favorite podcast.
Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
I moved my microphone way, way up in the air.
I don't know why you are tall.
That.
I don't know.
Let me just ease into this. And we're back. I'm Tom. She is Jill, and it's quiz time. But first, you want to talk about Moshalcedia or
social media?
That's what I meant to say.
What was the word you couldn't say earlier?
What was the word?
I don't even remember.
There's always a word.
There's a lot happened between now and then. So social media, you can find me at Jill Simonello. That's with a C. I also use the hashtag car du jour. Like car du jour. So the car of the day. And I am on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm on all the things. If I'm not on something you think I should be on, I would like to hear about it.
Are you on Blue Sky?
I am on Blue Sky.
How many followers do you have?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
I don't belabor the follower situation like you do.
But you would have if we had had a contest.
Uh-huh. You're angling for your free lunch. I see.
I've got a free lunch coming.
You do have a free lunch coming.
Yep. Got to 500 first.
You did.
If anyone's asking.
So if anybody out there is following him and they're not following me, shame on you.
Car Guy Tom. I am Car Guy Tom on Twitter, X, and Blue Sky.
Yes.
And I'm all over Facebook as me.
Putting pictures of TVs.
Yeah, I don't do as much car stuff. You know what I do do? That's weird. I'll regret this later.
I don't want to hear that conversation about your doo-doo, but go ahead.
I do usually on Sunday or Saturday when I'm working on the pictures of the review I'm working on. Mm-hmm. I do post the best pictures from the photo shoot of the car I'm reviewing.
Got it.
So people can check that out. And I right now I'm finishing my review of the Polestar 4. What a good car.
I love that car.
You know, what's funny is everything people were scared of because China bad.
Mm-hmm.
none of this is true.
Yeah.
Because this is a Chinese car.
Yep.
It was developed by a Chinese company. It is a version of a car sold in China as the Zeekr, the 001. It's built in South Korea and sold in the U.S. This car's got a crazy resume.
Yeah.
But it is a wonderful
car.
The only thing, I was a little freaked out by the fact that there isn't rear glass.
Correct.
And I found that somehow looking over my shoulder was not as completely satisfying in terms of me getting a look at the road because there wasn't rear glass.
Right.
It's
a little weird.
Changing lanes kind of freaked me out, even though it's a very wide angle view that you get in the electronic rear mirror.
Rear camera mirror, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Polestar 4.
Yes.
Good car.
Yes.
Chinese.
Yes.
Not a problem.
Nope.
All right, it's quiz time. Are you ready?
I am always ready.
Today's topic is, how red is it?
Oh, great.
I'm going to give you a car.
Okay.
And you have to tell me which of the red colors is actually available on that vehicle.
Oh, God.
It's that easy.
So easy. Okay.
And then five questions total plus a bonus question.
Okay.
Bonus question always related to the topic of the day.
Okay.
Have we talked about cheese today?
No.
Wait,
yes, we did. Beer cheese. Your beer cheese
soup.
There you
go. Related to the topic of the
day. Got it. Got it.
We're good.
Yes. And I will point out, I am eating a cinnamon stick donut.
It's good looking.
I don't even know what... It's not really a twist, but...
They called it a twist.
It doesn't twist.
Oh.
But a cinnamon donut.
You're always slightly disappointed with the donut.
This is actually really good. I like this.
Is it?
I do.
Yeah.
This is one of the better ones we've had lately.
You're just sort of disappointed.
No, it's not a twist.
Like my parents when they brought home my sister from the hospital.
When they brought you
home? They just
seemed
slightly disappointed.
Mm. You're the older brother, you have to say that.
Alrighty, how red is it? Are you ready?
Yeah.
You need three for a win.
Okay.
The Toyota Corolla Sedan.
Okay.
Ruby Flare Red or Royal Scarlet?
I'm going to say the Ruby.
Is the real one?
Mm-hmm.
You're on the board.
Ooh.
1 point.
You do not get to say your favorite phrase.
You have no points.
I know I have points.
I can say it, but
it's
not.
You can say it, but it's just not real.
The Chevrolet Traverse.
Okay.
Radiant Red Tint Coat or Palma Red Fruit Mica? Radiant Red Tint Coat. Tint Coat, one word. Palma Red Fruit. Red Fruit, one word. Mica.
I'm going to go with the tint coat.
You are correct.
I feel like General Motors really likes their tint coat colors.
It's a weird thing to throw into the consumer name for people to think about.
Yeah.
All right, the Ford Bronco.
Okay.
Ford's big old crossover SUV, a direct competition to the Wrangler.
So Bronco, not the Bronco Sport.
Correct.
Okay.
Wild Berry Metallic or Ruby Red Metallic Tinted Clear Coat?
Blah, blah, blah. Where are my Stellantis names? I like those.
Oh, I do have Stellantis coming
up. Okay. Read them again, please.
Wildberry Metallic or Ruby Red Metallic Tinted Clear Coat? How does that fit on a Maroni?
I don't know, but how does, why would you call a red for a Bronco, like a manly, rugged vehicle, like Berry?
Wildberry?
Yeah, why would you do that?
I don't know.
I'm going to go with Ruby again.
You are correct. You're killing it today.
Woo, I've already won.
Yep.
Winning.
I haven't fooled you at all. The Dodge Charger Daytona Scat Pack, that's the EV. Red Eye, two words, or Neutron Crimson? Red Eye seems odd because they use Red Eye otherwise. But Red Eye or Neutron Crimson?
So I feel like you gave it away there.
Probably not.
Okay.
I'm just commenting.
Mm-hmm.
Even if my idea was bad, I'd say so.
Fair. Yeah, no, Red Eye immediately struck me as not a good idea because they have Hellcat, Red Eye, Demon as a part of the... And they're usually much more creative than that with their names. So what was the second one, not the Red Eye?
Neutron Crimson.
I don't love that name either. We need to have a conversation. What was it? Was her name LaShonda?
I'm going to get it wrong. LaSheryl.
LaSheryl, that's it. We need to go.
Was it LaSheryl Jackson?
Turner, I think.
Turner. That's it. Latrell Turner.
Yeah. We need to have a conversation with her again. We need All to right. talk specifically about this color because both of those are not great. I'm going to go with the neutron one as the real.
Yeah, I made that one up. Yeah, red eye is the...
So you did give it away. You threw me. You threw me for a loop. I'm just commenting.
I did throw you.
Yeah.
And finally, the Nissan Sentra,
mm-hmm.
which Brian just suggested was a good option for people looking for a dollar value.
It is.
Coolie red, or is it coolest red? C-O-U-L-I-S red, or curry red?
Feel like it would be red curry, but I'm gonna go with the first one, coolie.
Coolest. Is it coolie or coolest?
I think it's coolie, but I don't know.
Oh, well, anyway, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the real one. Nice job. You've got four. Now the bonus question. We talked a little bit about cheese earlier, so this is, in fact, related to the mm-hmm. topic of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Per Taste Atlas, mm-hmm. tasteatlas.com, mm-hmm. which of the following is not one of the 9 best cheese varieties produced in Michigan? Also, I got a number from Grok that has to be wrong. I just went to Grok and I'm like, how much cheese do they make in Michigan?
Why do you still use Grok? Grok is just wrong.
Well, this number cannot possibly be right.
Okay.
200 million pounds of cheese a year produced in Michigan. 200 million pounds. That's a half a pound per person.
I feel like I need to now ask Ari, which is my ChatGPT.
Uh-huh. About how much cheese?
Yeah. I really, let's see. Good afternoon, Ari, comma. Can you tell me how much cheese is made in Michigan?
Annually.
Annually. Dun, 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 dun. Okay. 2.9 billion pounds of milk each year and turns that into 300 million pounds of block cheese annually.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's what Ari says.
It seems like a staggeringly huge number.
That does, in fact.
All right.
That 300 million pounds figure gives you a sense of commercial cheese output from just one major plant. So there you go. Sorry. Ari versus Grok.
I didn't know that Michigan was such a dairy state.
So what did Grok say again?
200 million.
Yeah, so Ari says it was more.
300 million.
Yeah.
Okay, cheese.
Cheese,
Michigan.
Got it.
All right, you need to tell me. So we know they make cheese there. Mm-hmm. I think we can agree that that's true.
They do, in fact, apparently make cheese.
All right, which of the following is not on the list of best cheese produced by Michigan? Are you
okay.
ready?
Yep.
The Idle Pastures Fresh Goat Cheese, The Pinconning cheese from Pinconning, Michigan. Dorfman's Mild Sheep's Blood or Blue, or Lelano Raclette. I probably should have practiced pronouncing these before I got here.
Probably.
But it's Idle Pastures Fresh Goat Cheese, Pinconning Cheese, which is not from one company, but from one city,
mm-hmm.
town. Dorfman's Mild Sheep's Blood or Blue, or Lelano Raclette. And I did look up the pronunciation of that. R-A-C-L-E-T-T-E, Raclette.
Raclette.
Raclette. You think it might be Raclette, but it's not.
Okay. Well, the blue bladder thing doesn't sound appetizing.
Bladder blue.
Bladder blue. Bladder in the name of something I'm going to eat does not sound good.
Mild sheep's bladder blue.
No. What was the first one?
Idle Pastures Fresh Goat Cheese.
That just sounds really boring. So I'm going to say it's either the first one or the bladder one. Those are my guesses. And I will go with my original gut and say bladder blue is a bad idea.
So Dorfman's. Mild Sheep's Bladder Blue?
Yeah.
You think it's fake?
Yeah.
It is fake.
Okay. I was like, Bladder Blue is a bad idea.
Nice job. You got 5 out of 6 today.
Whee!
On our news-heavy day.
A news-heavy day. There's a lot going on right now in the automotive world.
There is, yeah. And again, I just want to go back to this Corolla again. It's just a nice car. I know that...
Without heated seats, though.
Without heated seats. And I got to figure out what the story is there. I ran out of time today.
Mm-hmm.
But I was trying to figure out how to get heated seats on the SE.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure you can.
Huh.
So that's a thing. Also, it used to be traditionally you would get heated seats more easily on vehicles with all-wheel drive.
Yeah, because they would kind of include it as like a package, like a cold weather package or something like that, and you'd get the heated seats, heated steering wheel.
Years and years and years ago, we got an S-Class Mercedes-Benz at the office. This is like 2005 or 4. Mm-hmm. And the S-Class was a smaller vehicle at the time, but a wonderful, wonderful vehicle. And that vehicle turned out to be one of the best riding vehicles I had ever driven. Mm-hmm. The ride quality was astounding, but it was an S4. Was it called the 430 then? But it was the base S-Class.
Okay.
It did not have heated seats. And at the time, heated seats were a standalone option for $600, mm-hmm. which seems scandalous.
Right. It's still scandalous.
But it was a wonderful vehicle.
Yeah. Well, Mercedes and Porsche and BMW are well known for making everything an option.
Yeah. Yeah. And these option packages are names they never use again. Like the professional drivers, you know, advanced technology package B.
Right.
You know, and it's $3,800. And you go through a list of stuff you didn't know you wanted.
And you probably don't want, but you want the heated seats. You want the heated seats, so you're willing to pay, you know, $3,000 for the other stuff.
Speaking of ride quality, I'm having a hard time talking myself out of believing that the Polestar 4 isn't one of the best vehicles I ever drove ever.
Yeah.
The ride quality was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And one of the complaints I've had about electric vehicles is that the battery is heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like some manufacturers are having a hard time with managing that weight. And if you're just normally driving, you're like, hey, this ride's great. But if you hit something big,
mm-hmm.
there's a really weird problem with the secondary rebound. So you hit the bump,
mm-hmm.
your car absorbs the bump, but then you travel in the other direction some, mm-hmm. right? The energy has to go somewhere. And for some reason, the aftermath of that secondary motion isn't well handled. And it seems like you bobtail a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very weird. And I've driven a lot of electric vehicles where it's like, I want a little more ride control here.
Right.
But they are managing the weight of a huge battery.
Right.
With suspension components that are more or less the same size as they would be in any other vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to be firmed up. So it's a confusing thing for engineers to manage. But dang, if Polestar didn't get that right.
Yeah. No, I loved the Polestar 4. I haven't driven it at home yet. I only had it for, you know, a brief time when I was at an event, but it just, yeah.
Also, given its exterior size, very, very roomy. Four people, four adults, it's great.
Yeah.
All right. Guess what we did?
We had another great show.
We did, yeah. This was fun. Thank you to Brian Moody.
Mm-hmm.
Executive editor at Kelley Blue Book. You want to check that stuff out? We will link to their Best Buys.
Yes.
So people can check that out. Thank you, Jill.
Yeah.
Thank you to producer Randy and the good folks here at TalkZone. Let's talk more about cars again.
Next week.
Remember to check us out at consumerguide.com.
The Car Stuff Podcast is produced by J-Turn Media.
To advertise on the show, please drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.